Grace be unto thee, and peace, from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. At these summer services, several prayers of intercession have been asked. Let us quieten down in prayer. Dear God, Holy God, you are gracious towards us sinful ones. You have the possibility to help us through the prayers of intercession. Many of them ask to find the kingdom of God for their near ones and their neighbors and to remain in faith. Bring your help into the homes where the relationships have been broken and where the family connection is falling apart. Have mercy upon those who have bitterness and accusations and through false thoughts. Let there be agreement in the families and a mind of forgiveness. Let everyone have the energy to do their best to keep the family and home together. Hear the woman who asked for your help for their health and their loneliness. Help your prayer, hope. Give your help in their relationships. Improve the atmosphere at home to hold the family, brothers' family together. Holy God, you have the possibility to bless life with a believing spouse. Bless this woman and bless also this woman who is falling in love with an unbelieving person. And especially the prayer of a woman on behalf of his brother's family. And help the children to become healthy after traumatic experiences and to find personal faith and to repair the relationship between the parents. And a woman prays on behalf of the brother to be freed from drugs. Help a young woman to be freed from the tempter and to find the true joy of faith. Heavenly Father, you are the God of comfort. Send your comfort there where the trouble is great. Let your comfort be seen that you know all. And in the comfort that if all is lost, you shall remain and your kingdom will stay. Let your will be done. Amen. Let us quieten down to hear those word of God that I will read from Prophet Isaiah, from the 4th chapter, from the 2nd to the 6th verse, in Jesus' name. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely from them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall be purged of blood of Jerusalem, from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of the burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of the flaming fire by night, and upon the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for the shadow in the daytime, from the heat, and for a place of refuge for the covenant from storm and from rain. Amen. What did this text sound like? I think it contained many familiar parts for you and some new matters. Last spring, I spoke at an interview about the reading of the Bible. He assumed that I had read much about the Bible, read much of the Bible. Is something new found there? I said without doubt, there is always something new. It is an unending source of new. I can say now, this portion of the text we read, this is a new find for me from last spring. It has been in our church books to be read in Sunday church, but for some reason, it stopped me. I could not get away from it, and so it is here with us at the summer services to be studied together. This portion of Isaiah is in many ways amazing. It comes as a surprise. Before and after it, the prophet proclaims the judgment of God of different sins of the nations. And in the middle of everything, there is this portion of chapter 5 of the unseen time of salvation and blessing. Many of you who heard this, you noticed. There are some things that are familiar from the Bible, such as the Book of Life, the cloud and the smoke. But there is also something amazing and beautiful. The brightness of the Lord shall be a roof above all. It should be as a house that protects from a refuge from rain and storm. In the book of Isaiah, this small portion relates to the general theme of Isaiah about the judgment and of the visions of the prophet of the coming time of blessings and happiness. At the same time, we can believe that the prophet looks at the amazing new covenant time. This is what the believers then thought. In the first book of Peter, of the salvation, such words, this salvation have been sought for. The prophets have studied these. They have spoken, they have forecast, predicted, prophesied that salvation that shall come unto you. And they are. And they have spoken of this grace, of that suffering and death that came to us through Christ. And that came through that enlightenment. And so we can now, with a mind of prayer, quieten down to study what this portion of God's Word has for us. In the center of this text are the words of verse 3. That which is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. This knowledge of this, the members of God's promised people, they are called holy. For Isaiah, it meant something new, something exceptional to that which he had seen around him and experienced. What had he seen? He had seen the holiness and the filth crying out in conflict. This matter was personal, strong reflect for him, experience for him. He tells how he, in a vision in the temple, he had seen God at the on the throne in all his holiness. And Isaiah had to cry out, "Oh me, I shall drown. I have filthy lips. And my people have filthy lips where I live." Thinking about this, we must say this text from 2,700 years ago, this message, sounds familiar. There is something familiar for us. Sometimes we have reason to cry about the filthy lips of the people in the midst that I live. In the beginning of this month, I was at a confirmation camp. And there I experienced very strongly that holiness and that conflict between holiness and filth and that battle where especially the young experience in this time where we live. We experienced there together holy and beautiful moments at the church worships and sermons and touching moments in the discussions during the lessons. There was also an opposite view visible. We saw some of the young people's attitudes and opinions. There was some of that filth. Was some of that filth that is from the midst where they live. It was like a message from the time of Isaiah. Filthy lips are of the people in the midst where I live. All of this filth and sin, it so easily attaches on us, for we have so much surface for connection. So easily we forget this, the holiness of God's word, or the hymns and songs of Zion, their holiness, and the devotion involved. And it may be that we do not think that sexual life is holy. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and our older people, it can be easy to. The idols, the false gods of greed make us forget our neighbors, or we forget protecting the earth or nature. Light-mindedness attaches, and it can be seen in our dressing, clothing. And we read from the book of Isaiah, at his time, he saw the dangers and the problems brought on by alcohol. Let the Heavenly Father protect the young and even the older ones from falling into this trap of the enemy of the soul. It would be good that if our time, that somebody would cry out like as Isaiah did, "Oh, those who turn bad into good and good into bad, who turn dark into light and light into dark, sweet into bitter and bitter into sweet." Isaiah had seen people who spoke against the judgment of God. They said, "Soon God will carry out what he plans so that we could see it." This was the world where Isaiah lived. And here, as he is amazed, he sees that those that are left in Zion and those that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Isaiah begins this portion, "And in those days, and in that day, they are called holy." What is that day? For Isaiah, it was that judgment day of God, that great day of grace. As we said earlier, he can also gaze into the future, into the new covenant time. There, we know this portion, that day. We know those words. John speaks in his gospel. Jesus repeated these words in his farewell speech. He said, for example, to his disciples, "On that day, you will not ask me anything." These words of Jesus seem to refer to that great day of Easter, to that great day of resurrection of Jesus, which the motto of this service, these questions ended when he said, "My Lord and my God." After that great day of Easter, of Pentecost, the great day of Pentecost came, the day of the shedding of the Holy Spirit, the new courage, the new power, the day of new joy. The words of Jesus can refer to the second coming of Christ, that which is still coming in the future. Especially, it touched me when the Apostle Paul had read this portion and brought it directly to those congregations that he had been establishing himself. In almost all of his letters, he calls the members of the congregations, he calls them holy ones. The members of Corinth, all of whom were not living according to the will of God or in the way of God's life. But Paul called them holy ones. He shows that he believes that day that which Isaiah speaks of has dawned with Christ and with the shedding of the Holy Spirit. The Christians are holy through God's grace. And even there, in Corinth, there could really be said of the filthy lips in which we live. What is this holiness based upon? In this portion of Isaiah, it says here, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon the dwelling place a mount and upon her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day and the shining of the flaming fire by night. And for upon all the glory shall be a defense. This is all brought forth with a clean and holy spirit. And we have come into the midst, into the amazing Pentecost, the shedding of the Holy, the spreading of the Holy Spirit, this celebration where the apostles met the flames, the new power, the new encouragement was set aflame. This spirit of just and cleansiness is like a fire that burns and cleanses. How does he do it? A simple answer is, he speaks. He speaks in his congregation. The Spirit of God can awaken a person from the dream and the sleep of sin and death. In a very special way, he speaks to us in his congregation with the mouths of people. He speaks with the Spirit and judgment of the Spirit, awakening the conscience. He wants to show that filth and sin and the accident and the damage that it brings to people before the face of the Holy God. And it is important that the conscience would be awakened to ask about the salvation of God. But the spirit of cleansing also speaks good in the gospel, in the good message of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his holy sacrifice, of that forgiveness that he prepared. It is offered for all. He washes away all the filth of the daughters of Zion and purges the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. The Spirit of God wants to still, and even today, he wants to speak to every heart, near and far away, especially today, around this text that we see that we had fallen into filth and sin, and that we have earned the judgment of God. He calls to the spring of forgiveness of sins, to forgive one another from sins for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does this connect? How does the Spirit cleanse? How is it possible that the Spirit of God, this cleansing Spirit, carries a believing person, carries the sanctifying soul to put away sin and to fight against sin? It is, of course, the secret of the Holy Spirit. He is a spirit of cleansing, the Holy Spirit. The Holy. Hug the Holy. You hate sin, corruption, and wrongfulness. So we have sung in a familiar hymn. I think that sanctifying and the purifying factor is in the content of the message that God's Word proclaims. The Apostle Paul wrote, especially for the Corinthians, "We preach the crucified Christ, the cleansing Spirit of God wants to take us to look at the suffering form of Christ, wants to take us into the night at Gethsemane, where the Savior in great trials prayed and fought. He wants to take us to the in front of the great council and Pilate, where Jesus is tried and judged, where he is hit and spat upon, and he is dressed in purple, and he is crowned with a crown of thorns. It takes us upon the way of suffering, where Jesus suffers with the cross, or to the mountain of Golgotha, hill of Golgotha, where the Savior hangs on the cross from his hands and sheds his blood to the final drops, where in his great temptations he calls out, my God, why did thou forsake me? This is the price of our sin. This is the price of our cleansing. Can we agree upon any that is filthy and the permission of sin. This love of the Savior calls all of us, and He calls you who has become lost in the filth and sin of this world, or your conscience has been wounded there. This Spirit wants to bless you. The forgiveness of sin and even of the greatest filth, the forgiveness of all sins. Your own Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His name and atonement blood, He has given the great sacrifice for you. When you accept the gift, you are dressed with a clear, clean, holy gown, and you can uplift your heart into praise for this, that a child of sin and condemnation has been lifted up from the canyons of death into the holiness and freedom. Isaiah still continues here, that all these holy ones are written in the living book. This is a common, familiar verse from the Bible. The relevant factor here is they are still living, that they are recorded in with the living people. This matter, the Christians at the time of the apostles kept this as an important matter. According to the Gospel of John, Jesus spoke of this. He has said, "It is the Spirit that makes it alive. The flesh is of no use." The Apostle Paul also wrote to the Romans, "Through the mercy of God, I encourage you to give your body to be holy and alive, acceptable sacrifice to God." The Spirit of cleansing is a Spirit that makes us alive. And Jesus has compared this to be the living, refreshing water. The Spirit is like fire. It is also like a living water that refreshes. It refreshes so that all that believe will come to Christ to be sources or springs of this water that flow into eternal life. What is a living Christian now? First matter is, when the heart has been cleansed with faith, the sensitive conscience is watching. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher, home teacher. Is your heart watched by a cleansed, clean conscience? The first fruit of the Spirit is love. The Spirit gives this love. It lives for the near ones. Luther said it in this way: if a person who has had their sins forgiven is no one's slave, but in love is a servant for all. A person whose sins are forgiven, a living Christian, has received a gift a mind of forgiving. A person who has been much forgiven wants to forgive. We can say that living faith does not live in bitterness, but dies before long. That love takes care of the other's salvation. Living faith is a speaking faith. The Apostle Paul writes, we have that same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. And so we speak, because we believe. When we think of these matters, we see our own lacking and those things that we cannot defend ourselves. One characteristic of living Christianity and faith is this, is that he feels weakness. Lestarius has said, living faith is never as strong as a dead faith. Nevertheless, we as lacking ones, weak ones, Christians, we form a lacking, erring congregation. But the glory of God shall be a roof above all. It shall be like a tabernacle that protects us from heat of the day and from the rain and storm. The lacking congregation is upon the earth, sent by the glorious kingdom. All that good that is in this kingdom is a gift from God and left from the Spirit of God. All that good is not from us. We have not established the congregation. The God Spirit has gathered it together and has blessed the brothers and sisters with love. We are not the kingdom of God, but it has approached us. It has taken us to be their children and people. In the midst of all lacking, it repeats that prayer from Jesus, Thy kingdom come. We can uplift our hearts to believe that the kingdom will come and will be here and will be here today and now. And you, brother and sister, you can be of great comfort under that great glorious roof and in that tabernacle that protects us from rain and storm. You can own that you can believe all your temptations and lackings forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. We can be in good comfort and wait for that day that is in the future, that great day of Christ. Amen.